We are New Song, a Foursquare church in beautiful Colorado Springs. We love Jesus. We love each other. We are family. If you have any questions or prayer requests, you can always visit us simply by going to newsongcs.com. Thanks for joining us as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Today we are going to light our Advent candle, and we're going to invite Sister Murray to come on up. This is Marlene. Could you talk to us about Marlene? Yes, a couple of days ago, come stand right next to Cynthia. We had a nice time together, and we talked. And
well, we just have fallen in love with Marlene, and she's relatively new to our church. She started in the end of October, and so we just have enjoyed getting to know her. She has such an amazing testimony that I'm not going to go fully into today, but she is so willing and so open to share what God has brought her from and all that he's done in her life. And you know, she's just to say a little bit, she was put in some situations that she didn't choose. She grew up with some abuse and was in abusive relationships and was forced to do some things that she didn't choose herself, and just that guilt that she felt, and just coming to know the Lord, it's just, he's just redeemed her, and he's just, she knows that she's forgiven and that there's no shame, and that she's just such a joy to us and just has been such a blessing as we get to know her.
Blessing too.
Mm-hmm. And so today, she's a relatively new Christian. She's about the same. I've been a Christian for about 30 years, and so have you. Yeah. So relatively new, right? And we celebrate Advent in that Jesus came one time as a baby. He's going to come back for us all again one day. But last week we celebrated love. This week we're celebrating joy. Next week we're celebrating peace. And then the last week will be our candlelight service, where we'll all hold our candle of hope. And the reason we asked Marlene to do this today was that in spite of all of the things that she's dealt with in her life, she still expresses joy in the way that she lives her life, and you are a blessing to us. And I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask you just to pray a blessing of joy over us as well, all right? She's awesome. She's awesome.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for coming. Thank you for all that you do in our lives. Thank you for blessing us with your presence, with your peace, with your rest, with your joy, with your forgiveness. And Lord, we just pray a blessing of joy over everyone in this place today, no matter what they might be going through, that you are their deliverer, you are their peace, you are their joy, and you do forgive us for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have a Christmas party Thursday for our youth. We have a Christmas party next Sunday for our young adults. We have a concert on Thursday that we're going to, the 15th of December concert, if you'd like to come to that. Lots of great things planned, so hope that you are. If you're not having fun at home already, we'll help you have fun, so make sure to look at those things, all right? Would you turn your Bible to a very obscure passage? It's something that you've never heard before. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 2. Anyone heard of that? We are continuing a collection of talks today called Unwrapping Christmas, all about the gifts God gives us. And last week we talked about the gift of love, and today we're talking about the gift of joy. I see a lot of frowns. I know that sometimes life can bring us frowns, and sometimes frowns don't even mean that we're not joyful. But today I hope that you leave here realizing the joy that you already have given to you, just need to receive it. And if you say, well, I have joy, all of us could use a little more joy. Would you agree? If you go to the Walmart parking lot on Friday after Thanksgiving, you know that. When I think of gifts, thinking of unwrapping Christmas, I think of something that may seem like maybe bad to some of you, But I think of exchanging gifts. Like to taking them back. Like in our family, we like to take back gifts. Like our grandma will give us a gift, or even we'll give our gifts to our kids. And we know a lot of the gifts they're going to want to take back. In fact, we like doing that. We like going to the store after Christmas, exchanging, and then finding something else that we want more than that. I don't know. That's probably not very like proper or grateful or whatever, but that's not what it's about. We almost know sometimes you're not going to like this, but here you go. Go take it back, get what you want, right? Wouldn't you rather that? And then at the same time, you also have gift cards, so you want to spend your gift cards, and you want to go to GameStop, you want to get your stuff. So sometimes that's just way easier just to take away the stress and know this is going to happen. And so we like going to the store, taking back gifts at Christmas. I won't take back yours, not that you're giving me any gifts. You probably won't, but you know, one time we got it wasn't actually a gift, but something I took back. And it was because we bought an air mattress. We're having a bunch of people, 17 at our house for Christmas. And we bought an air mattress and just to have a place for others to sleep, right? Everyone knows what an air mattress is. And we opened it, and it wasn't even the same brand as the box said, and it was a used one. It was like this old, green, ugly one that someone had taped back in the box, and so we had to take it back to the store and look like we were liars. We're like, this was not what was said was in the box, and they're like, are you sure? You know, and so, you know, sometimes you can get burnt by taking back gifts, especially if you wait too long or if there's a sale at the store. I hate to, like, especially if I paid full price for it and then I give it to someone else and then they take it back and it's already gone on clearance. Then it makes me look like a cheapskate. And I paid full price for it. And there's, well, I'm sorry. You know, there's we went to one store. I remember it was actually not last Christmas. It was this year already. We've already taken something back. And they said, well, we can give you like $2 for this, but, you know, we can't give you full price. And it was like $50 or something, right? Right? At the Castle Rock Mall, yeah. It's just not fair. But, you know, don't do that. Make sure you get there before they go on sale. And I want to say to you today that it's kind of like our lives. Kind of like the gifts sometimes God gives us, that we will think we know better, and sometimes we'll exchange them for things that are less than what God wanted us to have. When you think of joy, you think, oh yeah, thank you. Maybe don't even say thank you for the joy. You have the joy, and you trade it back for, I'd much rather worry. Or I'd much rather have stress. I'd much rather have fear. So I'm just going to turn this one back in. You don't mean it on purpose. You don't do it on purpose, but we do. Every one of you does it at some point where you feel that worry, you feel that stress, you feel that fear, you feel that anxiety. It's because we're not receiving the gift God has for us. Amen. I've exchanged the gift of joy for sin in my life. I've decided I'm going to do this because I think it's going to make me happy. Now, I know that it's not because I know what I learned in the Bible, but it is going to. You're wrong. I'm going to do this. And then you do it and you're unhappy and you're thinking I should have just kept what God gave me. I guess I'm the only one. Has anyone else done that? No one else sinned in the room today. I actually haven't ever done that, so I'm just, if you, none of you have done it. Everyone's done that, right? You exchanged something for sin in your life, right? You're like, hey, you're the preacher. You're the one up there talking. I'm not talking back to you, but sometimes I might ask. Joy is one of those gifts we trade in for things not as great, and often it's for maybe even like I've talked about some of those things, or even materialism or something like that. Today I wanted to talk about unwrapping gifts, the gift of joy. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this time together. And I pray right now, not because we want to include you in our service, because you're already here. You're already in our midst. You were here before we came. You were with us on our way here. We're so thankful. I just pray once again for myself as I speak, as I share, that you would use my words. You would make them what they need to be. You would help people to see what you need them to hear in this message, that they would read between the lines, and you would show them something through your Holy Spirit, because we know that we can't do it on our own, and your word is living and active. I want it to be living in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We've read some others, another spot where it talks about the Christmas story, but now I want to look at another place, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. This is a part in the story that is very joyful. It's probably the most joyful part. It's verses 8 through 15, and it says this, as soon as I find it. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them." Keep in mind, try to find the joy in this, the good, that's there. "And the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid." Then they better trade in their afraid for joy. "Then the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Amen. "And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was not just one angel, but all kinds of angels. And they were singing, like the video today, the guy singing there, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us." This is a narrative of joy. This is probably the most joyful part of the story. It explains about a group of shepherds, the least likely to be important in the world, the least belonging to the world, the least included in anything. Most people didn't even know they were there. They were out in the middle of nowhere. No one saw them. No one talked to them. No one spent time with them. Why, God? Why, God? Why would you tell them? You told them first. Why did you do this? Do you think how joyful, how excited, how happy, how such a feeling of that they felt when God chose them? And this is not the message today, but let me tell you today, I know you feel insignificant at times. I know you feel like you don't belong at times. I know you feel, as well as I, that I just don't know where I fit. Well, hello, God made sure, very clear, the message that, you know what? For the greatest news of all time, I'm going to go to the people that are the least important of all time and tell them. So if you feel unimportant today, know that's who God likes. If you're important, then yeah, I guess he likes you too, but he likes unimportant people better. That's good enough right there. We could just be done. God bless you. Have a good day. You only go to church one day a week. Some of you maybe not even that. So let's spend some time. We're not going to be here all day, but we'll be out of here quickly. But I got some more to share with you. Other than that, where it talks about the shepherds and they're joyful, full of joy, great tidings of good. It's great, angels shine. It really is not a story. And you've heard this before. This is nothing new, but it's not a story full of a whole lot of joy at all times. There's a lot of things going on. It paints a picture of joy, but there's a lot of elements that did not seem joyful. I've heard that joy is not based on your circumstance. And we can disagree, and I'm not taking this to the bank, but in some ways, it kind of is. And kind of the Bible even talks about it, it is. That I almost, sometimes it's almost like just being in denial to say, you know what, joy is not affected by my circumstance. I can be joyful. And yes, I know what they're saying, but sometimes not really. Circumstances mess up your joy. They mess it up. Some of you are here today and you're at Christmas time and there's some circumstances and you're not joyful because of the darn circumstances. I do think that joy can be found at a certain point in the middle of the circumstances. Maybe it's not right away. Maybe it's in the middle of them. Maybe it's at the end of them. But just using the example of birth, you know, Jesus being born, or whoever has had a baby here, my wife's had three babies, and yet she had one, and she hated the process, and then she wanted another one, and so does every other mom in the room, is because in the middle of it, it doesn't seem, oh, this is so great, I'm enjoying this so much. I don't know what it's like, but I know that, you know, it's not. But after, there's joy. And you would say that process was full of joy because of what happened at the end of it. And that's much like a lot of other situations. I would say working out is not joyful, but it does bring happiness after when you're working out, because I know. Because what happened? What? I know, working out. This is a good time to do this because I'm really actually just hot. But, you know, it's not hot. It's not easy in the middle of it. But, you know, afterwards, you really feel happiness. You feel fulfillment. You feel joy, right? Rehearsing for a concert or this thing that you did today, maybe every time that you rehearse and practice is not like, yes, let's practice. It's tedious, but the result is joyful. I think you probably even enjoy performing, even if no one else enjoyed it, you would enjoy it. But you enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it because of the work that went into it. The setting of Christmas, the narrative has joy in it, in the midst of it. But in the middle and in the beginning and in the end, all through, there was a lot of places that were nothing that you would call joyful. We read at the beginning today in Matthew how it talks about Joseph and Mary. That predicament was not joyful. That, hey, I love this girl. Let's get married. Will you marry me? Yes, I'll marry you. A few days later, Joseph, something happened. I'm pregnant. And what? You're pregnant? What do you mean? This is horrible. This is the 1950s or a lot before that even. It was like very embarrassing. You don't do this. And she says, no, it's not like you think. I wasn't with anyone. It was God came and got me pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You know, that we don't even have to talk about it too much to realize this is a predicament that's not joyful. Joseph was figuring out, how am I going to get rid of this engagement without embarrassing her, without embarrassing me, without embarrassing my family and all of his generations behind him, who also, it's just not a good situation. And then it's Jesus, it's God that's coming, and she's saying this. It's scandalous. It's pretty. I don't even know why God would do this. Why would he do it this way? Except there's some other reasons, but one maybe just to tell us, you know, in the midst of joy, some predicaments, some situations are much less than joyful. Look at the place that Jesus was. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. If you go to a travel agent and you say, I want to go to a really pretty place in the Mideast, can you tell me a place? They would not pick Bethlehem. They would say, Bethlehem is not a place you want to go. It's war-torn. There's problems going on there. You don't want to go there. It's really actually ugly. You don't want to be there. At the time, it was ugly too. And at the time, it was an insignificant place. At the time, there was many people that didn't even know where Bethlehem was. And then, you know, the other part of the place was he was born in a manger, in a stable. How unjoyful would that be? It's already unjoyful for childbirth to be having a baby in a hospital that's clean with doctors, but she's out in the middle of, I can't even imagine, in the hay and dirty and just not a good situation. And then we already talked about the people that came, the very first people that came to see Jesus. Joseph and Mary probably weren't like, oh my gosh, we got the shepherds. They came to visit us. This is great. I'm so honored. Thank you. Right? That's my imitation of Joseph. Okay. It was shepherds. They're probably like, God, we're missing something. This is who you sent. The wise men weren't there that day. They weren't there with their king's presence. They weren't there. It was a long time later that happened. But what we can take from this is that joy was ultimately found and given to the world through the baby Jesus in the midst of the other elements. I want to ask you a question today. Simple question. In our lives, what is your setting or what is our setting for God to come and be with us? What is your setting for God to come and bring you joy, for his gift of joy in your life? You would say, well, my setting right now is a stable too. My setting is a predicament. My situation is a social disaster, what people know about me. I don't know if that's you in the room, but maybe it's some of your friends or some of your relatives or some of your kids. Oh, you don't even want to know my setting. Well, let me tell you, and this is why we preach, this is why we talk about the Bible, is not because we'd like to hear other stories from the Bible, but they got to relate to us. And this relates to me, and this relates to you, because God came to earth to be God with us, Emmanuel. And he comes into every one of our settings. Amen. This preaches, comes into my setting, what's going on in my life, and he can bring joy. He can make joy come out of the midst of messed up, messy places, messy lives. Are you in a financial need today? Are you sick? You have someone in your family that is sick? Are you in a relational conflict with your whoever that might be, your kid, your son, your daughter, your mom, your sister, your friend that was supposedly your greatest friend, and they're not your friend anymore? Are you in a situation God can't actually bring joy to that situation? Maybe you feel like Mary going into the inn for some counsel. I can imagine. She's there. She's pregnant. She's almost going to have the baby. She goes to the inn, and I know it's not exactly like this. There's not the inn, and she talks to the innkeeper, but she talks to him, and she says, do you know what's going on? Joseph's like, listen, I'm in a bad situation here. My wife's getting ready to have a baby. Maybe you're like this, and you're just hoping to find a little bit of counsel, a little bit of love, a little bit of hospitality, for crying out loud. And the church that you've been to, or the person that you went to, or the Christian that you asked, said, oh, I'm sorry, there's no room here for you. You're ugly. You got this going on. You go, just go somewhere else. There's an inn. There's a stable. There's a barn. There's a shack. There's a place that's no good for anybody. That's where you belong. That's where you deserve to be. That's how sometimes we feel that the church has done to us, or a Christian has done to us. Not anyone here, I hope, has never done this to someone, but maybe you feel like Mary and you're going, nope, there's no room for here. Nope, there's no room for you here. Jesus came into the world for that situation right there. There's people that experience that every day in Colorado Springs. You know that? That's why they hate the church. That's why they hate Jesus. And Jesus came to bring love and say, oh yeah, I have a place for you. I have a room for you. Let me tell you, there is always room in the Father's inn for us. The gift is called joy, and he desires for us to be overflowing in it. John chapter 16, verse 23, it'll be on the screen for you. Verse 23 and 24, I'm going to read it in a different version as it is up there as NKJV. This is called The Message. It helps you understand better. And it says this. This is what I want you to do, my friends. It's a joyful message. You can smile. Ask the Father for anything. Ask for whatever is in keeping with the things I've revealed to you. Ask in my name, according to my will. and he'll most certainly give it to you. Your joy will be a river overflowing its banks. Until now, it says in the NKJV, now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, you'll receive, that your joy may be full. That reminds me of the scripture we talked about last week that we don't think of as a Christmas verse, but John 10:10. Jesus came to give us life to the fullest. The enemy came to steal our joy, but he came to give us life to the fullest. I'm paraphrasing. When unwrapping Christmas, you got to know. When becoming a Christian, you got to know. When serving Jesus, when you feel like it's not what you thought it was supposed to be, what someone told you was going to be, you got to know. Serving Jesus is supposed to be full. It's supposed to be overflowing with joy. Sometimes I get asked, probably too often, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? You're kind of crazy. You're kind of like, what's going on? In high school, I remember a kid saying, what's with you? What is it? And I'm like, what? What is it? You're always smiling all the time. What is that about? And I'm going to be so proud to say in front of a bunch of high schoolers, as a pastor's kid, I said, I don't know. Because I got embarrassed. I got shy or something. And I didn't say what I was supposed to say. I missed my opportunity. And then the kid called me on the phone, not on my cell phone. He didn't call me on my cell phone. We didn't have cell phones. He called me at home, 946-1560. He called my house. I still remember, it just came to me. And he said, Stephen, I want to ask you, what's with you? I asked you today, and you didn't say, and maybe it was God like doing this to, well, it was. He was drawing this kid to God. His name was Alex. And I missed the opportunity the first time. God gave me a second opportunity. He said, what's with you? Why do you smile all the time? And I said, it's because of Jesus. And that was all he needed to hear. He just needed to make sure. And he came to church. He got saved. But that's the way we're supposed to live our lives. God wants to do that for each of us. It starts with letting the gift of Jesus be born in our hearts. This sounds so poetic. In our dirty, messed up stable. It starts there. Most of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have done that? Just think to yourself. Have I invited Jesus into my messed up life? That's the first step. And then it progresses to letting his joy be found in the middle, in the midst, in the end, at the beginning of your needs, of your situations. Amen. We're almost finished, but I want to close with just a few things. You know, I love Christmas. I love Christmas music. You love Christmas music. Some of you are tired of it already. In Colorado Springs, man, they started it early here. And we started it early. And I like it. Cynthia likes it. Right? Noah likes it. Riley's like, why are we already listening to Christmas music? And he still says that. It's the 15th or something, isn't it? Almost like, come on, get with it. But I like to turn it up. I don't like to, my son, Jaden, he's in the back seat. He likes to watch the Wiggles on the video thing. And so we're turning up that, and I always change it. And I let him just see the, he doesn't get to have the sound. He gets just Christmas music playing with his Wiggles playing in the background. And he doesn't like that, and he cries. But I love to turn up the Christmas music. And I'm going to sing you one of my favorites right now. It's called Chestnuts. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I asked Ed to play, and he was going to play like a, you know, I guess, would you call it a secular song? So I'm like, yeah, maybe a Bible song or something. So I put him on the spot today to get him up there. I sure appreciate that. Thank you, Ed. Stuckalosa, I know your last name. I just always am embarrassed to say it because I'm afraid I'm going to say it wrong. Stuckalosa? Yep. Thank you. I'm going to close with a few things. Turn up the music. Some things we need to turn down in our life, too. This one's not spiritual. Turn up the Christmas music. It might help with your joy, but that's not one of them. This. Turn down the self-pity in your life. Turn down the self-pity. These are very practical. I'm not going to talk about each one. I'm just going to say them. And that might be you. I'm not going to point you out, or else you might have more self-pity. But turn down the self-pity. Turn up the encouragement. Because the encouragement is there. God is encouraging you. He'll speak to you. His Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll use other people to speak to you. He'll use a pastor to speak to you. And I speak to you today. I already told you you're faithful. I already told you you're full of faith. I already told you God's got a gift of joy for you. I already told you you are forgiven. Turn up the encouragement in your life. Ask for it. Ask someone, can you encourage me? I promise someone will. Put it on Facebook. You're going to get a lot of replies. I don't know if they'll be encouraging, but I think they probably will. Turn down the focus on self. This is kind of the same, but it's kind of different. Turn down the focus on self. Turn up the focus on others, somebody else. You don't have to be out at the rescue mission, although that'd be probably a great place to turn up the focus on others. But you could just do it in your own house, with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, with your kids. I'm going to say it again, with your kids. They need to hear it. They hear every day bad things. They hear every day discouragement. They don't, maybe not even from others, they hear it inside their head. You got to do that for them. If you don't have any kids, find a kid. Find someone that's younger than you. Find someone that's younger and go up to them at the store and say, yeah, that might be weird, but go up to them. You're looking good today, my man. I bet you Pastor Chappie probably does this at the grocery store. Hey, listen to me, sister. I want you to know, you 18-year-old, that God loves you and you're beautiful and you're doing great. Yeah, I'm sure you probably did. Turn up the focus on others. Last week we went to Queen Palmer Elementary, right? A bunch of us, a ton of us, way too many. I think they were overwhelmed at all the help that they had, but we were giving out presents to kids, and it was like the most coolest situation. You would say, so how did it go? Well, yeah, we had to work and we had to give out presents and we had to give up our time and I could have been doing something else. No, do you know what? No one felt like that, because when you start to turn down the focus on yourself and on others, something just happens. I haven't seen more joy this week than as we were leaving that place, but how we felt for serving, right? It was just like, Linda's like, yeah, I want to give my testimony. It was just good. It was just because when you turn off the focus on yourself, yeah, you get my point. Turn down the distractions and turn up the relationships. Just a minute, I just remembered something. I have to just look at something here. Sorry, guys, just a minute. I'm looking at my Facebook. Oh, my Instagram is right here, too, so I'm going to look at that. Oh, and I have TimeHop, which tells me what I did last year at this time. I'm going to look at that real fast. I'm sorry. I got distracted there for a minute. We got to turn down our distractions and turn up our relationships. Now, that's hitting too close to home for me, maybe a little, so I'm not going to do that as much. No. Yeah, I don't know what your distractions are. What you have, and even the distraction, I'll be posting something for church. It's for church. Come on. But sometimes we need to turn that down a little. There's people around. Hello, there's people around, right? You're at church, you're at the restaurant, you're with your friends, you're with your family, you're at the coffee shop, you're not with anybody and you're on your phone, which is fine. But sometimes maybe God wants you to look around. There might be someone there that needs you. There might be someone that needs your joy. I bet you Arlene would probably do that too. She'd probably be like, excuse me, just a minute. I just want to tell you that you look wonderful today and God loves you. You know, turn down the distractions, turn up the relationships. And then lastly, turn up the getting and turn up the giving. Turn up the getting and turn up the giving. We're going to take another offering. No, I'm just kidding. Did I mess that up? Turn down the getting and turn up the giving. Parents know this concept. They love to give to their kids. You know, I love for our kids to open their presents more than I like to open my own presents, because I want to see what they're going to do. Because I hear there's a saying that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Everybody can take that one. If we all get a little more giving with our lives, with our smiles, with our relationships, things will get better. I'm blessed right now. I just got blessed by that mess. That was a good point for me. That I need that turn down. The Christmas season, this Christmas season at New Song, at wherever you go to church or wherever you work, wherever you go to school, I challenge you. And would you come on up, Amanda? I challenge you. I encourage you. I just request from you. Maybe the Lord would request to you. Would you unwrap the gift of joy? and let him overflow his gift into your setting. Just going to let that sink in for a minute. Let his joy sink into your setting. I'm convinced that 75% probably of our reason that we worry or we have regrets or that we feel condemnation or that we feel discouraged or that we feel embarrassed or that we feel inadequate or that we feel insignificant, 75% of the time that we feel relational conflict. I'm not praying right now, I'm just thinking. 75% of the time that we sense that we're not loved. Is the result of the enemy stealing it away from us, stealing away our joy, stealing away our love. I was just thinking that in the Christmas story, there's like a bunch of times that angels came, and almost every time the angels came, they said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." I think like 5 times. Don't be afraid. I think I might even talk about this next week because it's good. We need to hear that today. 75%, a lot of the, you're getting it stolen away. Don't let it. Don't let fear rule. Don't let unrest rule. Don't let busyness rule. Don't let stress rule. Don't let worry, regret, unforgiveness rule. Don't be afraid. I bring you tidings of great joy. It's called the good news. It's called the gospel. It's why it got so popular. It's why it's still here today. Christmas was so long ago, the first one that happened, and it's picking up speed, and it's still gaining momentum because it's real, because Jesus came to be God with us. And would you stand with me? Lord, you see every heart here. I don't, but you do. You know exactly where we stand with you. You know exactly what our stable looks like. And I just want to go on record and help everyone to go on record and say, God, all of us are kind of messed up. As Joe said earlier, we all have some problems. We all have things that we need you to come in and clean up. And I pray that you would come into every one of our situations, number one, and be born in our hearts. If you aren't there today, you're not going to get this invitation at the shopping mall. You only probably will get it at church. And I'm not going to have you raise your hand or come forward or yell glory hallelujah. But if you know that Jesus, God with us, is not born in your heart today, maybe because you think you don't deserve him, or maybe because you've been affected, you've been offended, you've been treated wrong, you've been someone in some innkeeper somewhere has told you, no room here, no room here, no room here. Let me tell you, there's room in God's inn for you. Amen. There's room for God in God's inn for you. Just receive that right now. We're just going to take a moment and you just talk to Jesus. You say to him something like, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Father God, I know that you're real. Thank you for sending your son. Say something like, I believe in you. That's all it takes. It's not something that you earn. It's not something you have to do a certain prayer, not just something to say it a certain way. You just say, I need you. I pray that you would draw hearts to you. I don't even have to pray it. I know you're drawing a heart to you right now. There's someone in the room that needs you, and they're coming back to you right now. They're coming home to you right now. Coming home for Christmas, I guess we could say. Forgive me for being poetic there, but yes, come home for Christmas to Jesus, to Christ. The rest of us, and now you're involved in this too, if you just made that commitment. All of us, would you open your eyes and look at me? How many of you would say, yes, I need more joy in my life today? I need more joy because I need to be overflowing with it so I can give it to anyone else. Anyone want to be able to give it to anyone else? We should all be in that same boat, because what the shepherds did then is they told others. And that's what God wants us to do, but we keep it to ourselves because we don't have enough joy in ourselves to even pass it on. God wants to overflow that joy. Now, this is something that you don't have to do, but if you will, just open your hands to God and close your eyes. And Lord, you see our hands raised to you, and we say, fill us more with your joy. I know that it's already been given. Right now, I need to receive it. And I just ask you right now, receive God's joy for you. It might be a supernatural exchange from God right now, or it might just be an act of faith. But you say, I receive your joy. Maybe look up to the heavens. Maybe put a smile on your face and say, I receive your joy. I need it in my family. I need it in my marriage. I need it in my relationships with my friends. I need it in my witness to the world. I need it in my story. I need your joy. Let us not exchange your gifts for a clearance item from the devil's thrift store. Amen. Because you're not going to get what you want there. So when you leave here, the enemy's going to be like, I'm ready. I got something better for you. What he said in there, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't listen to that. Amen. Would you sit just for one more moment? I'm going to invite the choir back up. They're going to sing one more song for us.